Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1FY24 conference call of JK Cement, hosted by PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Agarwal from PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Agarwal.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited, we welcome you to the Q1FY24 call of JK Cement Limited. On the call, we have with us Mr. Ajay Kumar Saraogi, Deputy Managing Director and CFO, Mr. Sumnesh Khandelwal, Deputy CFO, and Mr. Prashant Seth, President, Business Information and Investor Relations. I would like to mention on behalf of JK Cement Limited and its management that certain statements that we made or discussed on this conference call may be forward-looking statements related to future developments and based on current performance. These statements are subject to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other important factors which may cause the actual developments and results to differ materially from the statements made. JK Cement Limited and the management of the company assumes no obligation to publicly alter or update these forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information or future events or otherwise. I will now hand over the floor to the management of JK Cement for their opening remarks, which will be followed by interactive Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Saraogi sir.
Yeah, thank you, Vaibhav. Good evening and welcome to Q1 results. The board of directors met on 12th of August to review the performance for the first quarter, that is, quarter ended 30th June. The major highlights during this quarter, the net sale was 2,541 crores as against 2,613 crores in the previous quarter, a drop of about 3%, though it was higher by 20% vis-à-vis quarter last year. The revenue from operations were down by 2% at 2,624 crores as against 2,665 crores and 2,163 crores previous year. The EBITDA during this quarter was 402 crores as against 364 crores in the previous quarter, which is up by 11%, though marginally lower by 1% as compared to 407 in the previous year. The EBITDA margins this quarter was 15.8%, 13.9% in the previous quarter as against 19.2% in the last year, first quarter. The profit before tax during this quarter was 193 crores as against 190 crores, an increase of about 2% as against 270 crores in the previous year. This year, in this quarter, we have JK Cement Panna, which was being operated in the subsidiary. The subsidiary has got merged, and accordingly, the figures for this quarter have been regrouped, including the Panna working. And also wish to inform that the Panna working has been quite satisfactory. We commissioned Panna sometime in November, December last year, and within a short span of time, today the plant is already operating at about 75%. The work on the Ujjain project, where we are putting up a grinding unit of 1.5 million tons, is at advanced stage, and hopefully, this will get commissioned in the fourth quarter of the current fiscal. As regards the grinding unit at Prayagraj, now we have received the environment clearance, and we have already placed the orders for main plant and equipment, and immediately after the monsoon, the work would start at Prayagraj, and we are hopeful that we should be able to commission in either late in quarter 3 in FY25. These are the major highlights for this quarter. If you have any questions, we'll be pleased to answer the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, to ask questions, you may press star and 1. The first question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you and congrats for a good set of numbers. Sir, first is, last time you talked about a 15% volume growth. So this quarter already in Gray, we have done a 29% kind of a volume growth. So for full year on Gray cement per se, can we even see 20-25% kind of a volume growth for this year?
No. I think we said about 15%. So definitely our efforts would be there. The demand is good. But if we see the current quarter, the month of July has been, you know, affected by rain. And so the volumes are lower, and looking to the other maintenance schedule and all, we are confident that we should be growing minimum to 15%, though we will try and see if the demand momentum, which is likely to continue, we may grow by closer to 20%, but not beyond that.
Okay, and on the wire for Panna for this quarter, last quarter we had a 2 crore EBITDA, so this quarter broadly the EBITDA would be, so trying to understand the further improvement in the profitability.
So there is an improved improvement in the working of Panna. So as we said, okay, 75% capacity utilization is already there, and even on the EBITDA terms, you know, it is is closer to the average for the company, and with the now in this quarter we have commissioned the waste heat recovery plant, and we would be gradually going forward start using more of AFR. So the benefits of all this would also be reflected in the coming quarters.
Okay. Now, sir, broadly, I have more data points needed, but before that, broadly trying to understand in terms of the profitability. So for last 2 quarters, we are saying that the white segment is having a kind of a similar EBITDA margin for gray cement, 15-17%. So is it fair to say, if I take, let's say, 15-17%, so this quarter, in terms of the gray, broadly, I understand we don't discuss in detail, but broadly, still the EBITDA per ton in gray is less than 800 rupees. So can one see this number inching up as we increase the volume to 900 plus number?
Yeah, definitely we are confident that going forward, you know, the EBITDA should improve. When we are seeing some benefit we will get in the cost in terms of lower fuel cost. We have seen the benefit in this quarter. As we said earlier, that this year we expect, you know, around 250 to 300 rupees a ton overall saving in the fuel cost. So out of this, actually the first quarter has been quite good in terms of the fuel cost vis-à-vis the previous quarter. Because we had some window to get still more cheaper fuel. But still, having said so, even sequentially, going forward, we should see a 60-75 rupees per ton saving in the fuel cost itself. In the next two quarters, we have to see that whether we get the savings thereafter in the fourth quarter onwards or not, as you know, the petcoke prices have started firming up. So we have to see that, you know, whether there is the prices, how the prices remain going forward. It has come down to around $115, and it has again gone up to about $130-$135.
Okay. So now, a couple of data points. So what's the power and fuel cost? So last quarter it was 12,000 rupees, and in terms of kcal, we say 2.4. So what was the number for this quarter?
Actually, last quarter four was standalone. Now, because we see after merger of the Central India operations, so with that, last quarter was 2.50 rupees, and in this quarter, the combined is 2.20 rupees.
Okay, 2.20 rupees. And in terms of rupees, so 12,000 will become for last quarter, how much, and for this quarter?
So there's slight reduction of around 1,000 rupees per ton.
Okay. Railroad mix, lead distance, for this quarter, fuel mix for-
Rail was 14%.
Okay.
Distance was 426 kilometers.
Okay, that's great, sir. And fuel mix for this quarter?
Fuel mix is broadly 60% petcoke on the heat basis, and balance 40% is the other fuel and AFR.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then in terms of the CapEx, so we are looking at CapEx of 1,200-1,400 crore for this year. So how much we have done in the first quarter, and is the number remains the same?
Yeah, yeah. Number remains the same. And we have done the, I mean, CapEx of around 150 crores in the first quarter.
Okay, okay. And for FY 2025 also, 700-800 crore kind of a CapEx?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, for FY 2025, 700-800 crore kind of a CapEx.
Yes, 800 crore, yes.
So whatever the indication we had given regarding the CapEx, it, as of now, remains the same because there's no change in the plans.
Okay, got it. And sir, broadly, in terms of working capital loan, would be the 400 crore, which was the case in the March, so?
Yes, yes, it is around 400 crore.
Okay. And in terms of the pricing post-June, how are the prices? Is there some marginal decline?
So as far as pricing is concerned, there has been, see, on a regional, there's been some improvement in the prices in the month of July in the northern region, though the southern region still remains same or under pressure. But in the northern region, there has been some improvement in prices. The central has been more or less same.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Shah, may we request you to kindly rejoin the queue, sir, as there are other participants who are waiting for their turn. Thank you.
Are you asking all the questions? Leave something for others.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. One, sir, the other operating income, basically, the net sales given in the presentation and the difference is what, and the difference in the net sales given in P&L account.
Right.
That has come to, I think, for the quarter, has shot up to 83 crore, versus on an average run rate of 50 crore as I see in the past. So what could you attribute this to, this jump of roughly 30 crore?
That is the increase in the subsidy.
So one, Naveen, the subsidy would be around 250 crores for the year. So approximately, we could say around 60-65 crores each quarter. Besides that, you know, there is one other income is pertaining to some AFR sale and other scrap sale and others. Could be some, could be one time. But if you talk about subsidy alone, this would be in the vicinity of about 60-65 crores, because we have now subsidy in case of Panna, we have subsidy in case of Hamirpur, Aligarh, and Nimbahera.
Understood. So at least, let's say, 70-75 crore kind of a run rate can continue per quarter for the couple of next couple of years. Is it fair to assume that?
I mean, a subsidy would be, you know, 60-65 crores, but then another 10-12 crores other income normally there.
Yeah, that's what. So 75 crore on an average can be a safe-
That should be.
Okay. Okay. So then my second question was this waste heat recovery plant, which you said has commissioned in the previous quarter of 22 MW. So, did it commission towards the fag end of the quarter, or I'm just trying to understand?
Just fag end. Just fag end, I mean.
So there are no benefits of that?
Even we will not get a normal operation in this quarter. This quarter would have, I mean, say, I think maybe 50% utilization in this quarter, because again, monsoon is a very difficult month, where, you know, rain also disturbs the operation of the kilns. When the kiln operation is not very stable, it affects the waste heat power generation. So it would be, you know, this quarter, we would see at least 50% benefit coming out of the waste heat at Panna, and from third quarter onwards, yes, optimal generation from captive power would be there.
So on a normalized basis, let's say from third quarter, compared to Q1, we should be able to see a saving of, annualized saving of roughly 60-70 crore per year from WHRS.
50-60 crore should be there.
Yes, yes.
Understood. And sir, my last question, we see the debt, I think, sequentially, has gone up, roughly a little over 100 crore, net debt I'm talking. And you said we have done some CapEx, of just 150 crore. So, question-
Yeah, Naveen, yes, the point is that is excluding the CapEx, balance CapEx spillover on the Central India expansion completion.
Right.
So we have spent this substantial amount on that for the waste heat recovery commissioning and all that. So that is in addition to 150 crores.
The CapEx of 150 crores excludes the CapEx done at Panna. So, so there has been, you know, the spillover CapEx at Panna was around 300 crores as at beginning of the year. So during this quarter, another 175-200 crores has been spent on the balance work at Panna. So if you look at other, so the CapEx actually has been 300 crores plus during the quarter.
So it will still be part of the 1,400 crore guidance that you have given for the year?
It is part of the 1,400 guidance. And, you know, the debt increases that we have drawn out, with the, I mean, there is some draw even done in month of July. So whatever this balance debt, which had to be drawn for the Panna expansion, that has been drawn.
No, understood. So just to conclude-
And we have taken some additional borrowing for the Ujjain project.
No, understood. But just to conclude, net debt, is it safe to assume that it's nearing its peak? We have peaked out largely.
It's nearing its peak. It has peaked out, in fact, I would say now, because in the first quarter, there were repayments were also not there.
Right.
So once we have a normal repayment schedule and all, so net debt, I mean, the net debt has already peaked out.
Right. That's helpful. Thank you so much. I have one or two more questions, but I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You may press star and one to ask questions at this time. We'll take the next question from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. Sir, first is on Toshali. Any update on the limestone lease transfer? Any timelines on growth optionality, incremental things that we intend to do over there?
No, as of now, there is no, we are still awaiting the government approval. And unless and until there is an approval by the government on grant of the mining, we shall not go ahead with the transaction.
Sure.
That was a condition precedent in the agreement.
Okay. So, sir, has anything gone from our balance sheet? Have we given them
nothing? We have not spent anything.
Okay, perfect. This is helpful. Sir, second is a more generic question. Sir, can you detail what will be the sizing for the putty and white cement market in India and what our market share would stand right now? And in the prior call, you had indicated that the profitability has been continuously been under pressure. Sir, how should we understand and read this, sir?
So the market for putty, you know, I would say should be close to around 4 million. We don't have, that would be the market, present market for the putty. And as far as the white cement is concerned, we have about, you know, close to 1.4, 1.5 million ton capacity in India. And balance, there is some imports which are into India, mainly from UAE, which is Rack White and JK Cement Fujairah. So these are the two countries from, major imports are coming from UAE only into India. So that is the position. As you said, yes, because the major, the putty market has become very, very competitive. Because of the entry of the, I mean, the paint manufacturers are, because one, they find this as a very lucrative value-added item, or it is part of the paints. This is why we entered the paint business, because we felt that we are already there in the paint because of our customers, influencers, everybody is common. So for the paint manufacturers, now putty is a, again, and for them, yes, they have an advantage that they don't have to do much publicity. It is a part of their existing, an additional product in their bouquet of products which they have. So, as we see, you know, the paint industry operating at margins of 12 to 18%. So, I think going forward, as per the white business, would also be operating at the same level of EBITDA margin.
Right. And sir, on market share, how much would that be on putty and on white cement?
So putty should be anything between 22 to 40. We don't have exact all numbers available, but we have between 20 to 25%. I think we did one analysis, it was around 22-23% is our market share. And white cement, you know, it is mostly 50-50, maybe 48 to 52 between UltraTech and us. So we are more or less equal in the market share for the white cement.
Sure. So this is very helpful. I'm joined by Zeku. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Sanjay Nandi from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So congrats on a good set of numbers. So just to mention, like, we have taken some price hike in the northern part of our country in the in this Q2. So can you please quantify the numbers? Like, what kind of price hikes did we take?
So the price hike, you know, and it has been around rupees 7 to 10 rupees per bag, effective price hike.
Sir, just you told, like, we have taken a price hike of 7 to 10 rupees per bag, so that is been kept rolling, or we have taken, like, any further rolling back of the price?
No, as of now, this is the price, effective price increase, which has been already passed on in the market. We have to really see ki how long it sustains and whether there is any room for further increase in the pricing.
Sir, what has been the utilization in this first 1.5 months of the Q2, the overall utilization?
So the utilization level in the first quarter for us is around 80%.
What is the run rate in this 1.5 months of this next quarter?
Pardon?
What has been the utilization in this first 1.5 months of this next quarter, sir, Q2?
The Q2 utilization has been slightly lower because the sales was low because of the monsoon rains and the flood conditions.
So what happens, Q2 is always a low during the monsoon. There is a lot demand goes down, and there's a problem in movement of material. And also we had certain, we do plan, our planned maintenance was also, most of the maintenance has been in this quarter.
Got it, sir. Sir, last question is, can you throw some lights on the paint business? Like, what kind of top line you are targeting for that?
Yeah, so on the paint business, we are already started opening up more areas, and all our existing dealers who have shown interest, now we have started sending the material to them. So gradually, to our network, the business has started, and we are seeing a good response as of now. If we see, we plan to achieve an incremental growth of around 70 crores or 200 crores in this fiscal. Yes, the first quarter has been low, but we are expecting now that the volumes, as we are already starting the dispatches, the volume should grow, and then with the upcoming festival, we should be able to get to a reasonable number.
Are you confident that in paint business we can maintain the top line growth as far as the industry like leaders from the next year onwards, like from 2025 onwards?
Not clear.
Yeah, I mean to say, like, are you confident that we can maintain the top line growth in comparison to the peers at the same path?
No, so what we had planned, we feel that we'll be able to achieve, like, in the previous year with Acro, there was a top line was about 80-90 crores, and we had, planned anything between 150 to 200 crores in this year and 300 crores in the next FY25. We feel that as of now, this should be achievable.
Got it, sir. So thank you for this, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in a few, sir.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, please press star and one to ask questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Deepika Gagwani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you please guide us on the realizations for this quarter?
So we should expect the overall realization, to maybe if as things go as it looks now, anything between, average around 50-70 rupees or a ton improvement in realization over the previous quarters.
And if you can tell us what were the realizations for Q1 FY24?
Q1 realization was, NSR was close to 5,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, first is Karnataka WHRS 16 megawatt, when that will get started?
So the work has already started. It is, I think, by end of December, this should get commissioned.
Okay, okay, that's great. Second, Panna clinker debottlenecking from 8,000 TPD to 10,000. So that will be by Q3, that will be also done?
Yes.
Okay. And pain part you mentioned in terms of the revenue but for this year as a whole, 150 200 crore revenue, but on accounting basis we should be having EBITDA level, some EBITDA loss.
Yes, we have already indicated that the EBITDA loss of about 20 crores.
Okay. Okay, any update in terms of the next phase, that expansion that we are looking at for second line at Panna, and then we are also thinking of post that maybe the Jaisalmer. So any update of when we are likely to start the work when we'll announce the second phase of expansion at Panna?
No date has yet been fixed. So I think the board will review maybe early next year or close of next the current financial year. So at that point of time we will review the entire status and then take a call.
But our preference will be to first go for expansion at Panna.
Should be. I cannot comment on that. Let us see what is the decision.
Okay, okay, okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. You may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My first question is on fuel cost. You mentioned we were like looking at 250-300 rupees per ton of fuel cost savings. And 60 to 75 rupees pending for next two quarters. So that means like over 200 is realized in first quarter or what?
No, about 150 odd is already realized. As I also mentioned that this quarter has been exceptionally good because we had an opportunity to where we got certain domestic fuel at a very cheapest rate when the international rates were at the lowest, we got at that rate. So that is also reflected in the this quarter's earnings. So but having said so, if we see the 150, we are expecting another 60 to 75 rupees gain over first quarter in the second quarter. So we still expect, so we should get, you know, about 300 rupees a ton saving by end of December.
You said 150 was realized in this quarter or 300
yeah,
was realized in this quarter?
150.
Okay. And at like peak of like the whatever number we are looking at in terms of savings, what is the kilocal cost versus 2.2 which we booked for this quarter?
So we should see about 20 paisa reduction
around 1.95.
So that should be there in the next quarter and maybe another 20 paisa. So this is how we expect sequentially the prices to go down.
Okay, so why I ask this is because some of the other companies have indicated 1.7, 1.8 as like probable peak realization of savings. So
1.8 we should reach by end of the third quarter, as I said.
Okay, so 1.8 is the lowest cost which we might be looking at.
Now whatever is the present price of fuel which stands, we have to see that.
Okay. And on Panna unit profitability, you say it is in line with the company. So is it in line with grey operations or is it in line with the overall standalone operation?
Naturally, grey operations.
Grey operations. True. So we have reported 900 per ton approximately for standalone operation. Standalone operations. So it would be like obviously lower than that because it includes white cement.
Yeah, margin, not major impact difference.
Sure. Okay.
Not a significant difference.
Not a significant difference. Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. These are my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the final reminder and no further reminders will be given for the questions. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Aman Agarwal from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand on the kind of savings we are expecting out of the green power capacities that are coming in, not only WHR, but also the renewable capacities. We have a target of 80 megawatt of WHR by FY24 and I guess around 94 megawatt of renewable power.
So, presently our renewable power is around 46 megawatts. And we are planning, you know, to increase this up to 100 megawatts, maybe by end of next fiscal.
Just wanted to understand on the kind of savings that you are expecting out of these.
So, you know, since we are not doing a capital model in most of the thing, it is a group captive power. So we expect, you know, a power savings of around 30 to 40% from the grid rate.
Sure. And just on the Toshali acquisition, you know, we see that Northeast market is a pretty small market, and we have already seen quite a few capacity additions. You know, one from a major cement player operating in the eastern region. So, just wanted to understand your view on how you view as the regional dynamics playing out.
No, see, again, Toshali, when it materializes, it is a natural extension of our market. As we are doing, you know, when we do the next expansion at Panna. So, you know, besides, you know, consolidating on the existing markets of Central India, we shall also be entering the Eastern market. So this is, that will become our natural market. And when Toshali as an opportunity, we see getting a limestone deposit in an area where in the vicinity of 400 to 500 kilometers, there's no plant. So we get a very good opportunity and we are planning if everything goes well and we get all the mining lease and everything, then up to 2.5 to 3 million tons of capacity can be added. And in a region where there is no immediate competition, so 500, you know, radius. So when you get a plant where there is no competition available, direct competition, material can come from any other region. So you will have lot of local advantage in catering to those markets.
Understood, sir. And so lastly, on our midterm target of reaching the 30 million ton capacity target, so further additions would be largely brownfield or greenfield in nature, or is there a further debottlenecking scope left with the company?
Not major debottleneck is left because we have already done all the modernization at the existing plants. So we see that the next expansion would be by way of brownfield and greenfield only.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. This is all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Sahadev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Right. Thank you for the repeat opportunity. So, for Acro Paints, against the guidance that we are looking at revenues of 120-150 crore, how was the performance in Q1, both in revenue and EBITDA terms?
So for the paint, we did about approximately 25 crores in Q1. And the overall EBITDA during this quarter was a loss of about 2 crores.
Okay. Loss of around 2 crores because
Yeah.
The acro paints as such was.
Acro paints and including whatever in the new areas through acro paints, we are the new markets which we are entering, all that is included in the 25 crores top line as well as the loss.
Understood. Second question is, in the clinker factor, I was just looking at the annual report. So year-on-year, there's a marginal drop in clinker factor, I think 65.6%-65% or so for the quarter. So how much further reduction can this clinker factor see with commissioning of the Ujjain and the Prayagraj grinding units?
So yes, see, grinding unit definitely would help in reducing the clinker factor improvement on the, so that would definitely help because the production from the grinding unit is all blended cement. So having said so, I think we have to see if we get, incremental production of about, so it's about saving is around 10% more in case of the grinding unit in terms of on an average when you look at the clinker factor.
So Navin, just to add to Saraogi, it will impact overall ratio. Once Prayagraj and Ujjain starts, it might impact by 2-3%. So 65 might be.
It depends on the weighted average and how the, there is one more thing, Navin, a lot of incremental demand is coming from the non-trade sector because
Correct.
We have, I mean, so again, to be able to, grow with the industry or more than the industry, we will have to go in towards for the non-trade also. Otherwise, the overall volume growth will not be there. Though we have been growing the trade segment, but overall volume to grow on an overall absolute numbers, you have to grow both in the trade as well as non-trade segment.
Yeah. Understood.
So having said so, when see there's an improvement in the trade segment, but equal improvement in the non-trade segment, then the clinker factor will not change,
Sure.
And logically, at grinding unit, we don't supply from grinding unit, we don't supply OPC. So as we increasing grinding units, so definitely that impacts the ratio.
Understood. So directionally, at least we can see some improvement. There is scope of further 200-300 basis point improvement of reduction in the clinker factor. Is that safe to assume, right?
Yeah. Once those plants start full-fledged, when
Sure.
It is running at 75-80% of the capacity, then definitely that should.
Yeah, there is a possibility, but again, as I said, a lot will also depend on the how the demand supply between trade and non-trade, shapes up going forward.
Understood. And on the fuel cost, you said we've achieved roughly 150 rupees per ton this quarter and around 75-50 rupees per ton savings.
Get another 150 in the next two quarters. So as we, gave an indication that a saving of around 300 rupees a ton over Q4, so which should be there.
Yeah. So the only change there is I'm saying petcoke, which had fallen to as low as $105, as you said in your initial comments, it's come to $130 odd dollars, and we keep inventory of maybe 2 to 3 months. So we are in August. This increase should impact in Q3 itself, or that will come in more like in Q4?
Whatever indication, see, it's again, some shipments will come at a lower cost, some would be at a higher cost. So whatever indication, with the fuel planning which we have at this moment, so we have given an indication of, 20 paisa per 100 GCV saving in each of the next two quarters. So that, let us look at that as an indication. Our fuel cost was about 2.20 rupees in Q1. It should be around 2 rupees in Q2 and 180 in Q3.
But directionally, it is safe to assume that Q3 would have bottomed out in terms of your fuel cost savings.
We see further reduction in the petcoke pricing.
Yeah, but as of now, there is an increase of $20-$25. So from that point
of
view,
yes. Actually, 105 was very. It was a very short period.
Understood.
You see, it had not gone down two levels of 105. It remained between 115 to 122,
23. Okay.
125 was very small window. You know, everybody, whatever ability, whatever, very few plants could get, you know, any major shipments during, in that price range.
Understood. So my last question, do we have any more avenues? Because operationally, I understand there is scope of further cost reduction, there is waste heat, there is clinker reduction. On the fixed cost front, is there a scope of things to get a little lean now, more so if I look at the consultancy charges or anything like that? Are there any avenues where we can see some cost reduction in the fixed cost front?
Yeah, definitely we are working out on that, and maybe not immediately, but definitely fixed cost is a focus for us. And now as a next, because again, it is not only variable cost, the fixed cost is equally important, and we are working out on a possible reduction in the fixed cost as what we see. When we, year on year, the increase is there. The increase is on account of, you know, inflationary trends, the additional manpower, and the other expenses because of a increase in business. But we are still working out on avenues, as you say, on the consultancy and other expenses. So we, wherever we see, you know, that there would be a net business gain, we will work on it. And it is definitely as part of our plan, not for now, going forward it will always be there to see how we are able to reduce the fixed cost.
Helpful. Any guidance to give or?
No, actually the guidance, if you say with any absolute number, no. We have a guidance with our internal budget which we had prepared for the year. We are trying to see how we first reduce from the budget, because incremental, any increase from absolute numbers is very, very difficult, because mainly it is, you know, out of control with the, when you have expansion and other things already in way.
Fair point. Helpful. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Maheshwari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is primarily for the Ujjain grind. Does our Ujjain grinding unit, we have sufficient clinker from existing clinker from Nimbahera or Mangrol, or we need to improvise or modernize our line one of the Nimbahera, as per my understanding, because Nimbahera line one is not working due to the very old operating parameters?
So we have sufficient clinker. In fact, you know, if we see even in the last fiscal, the line 1 and 2 of Nimbahera, we had not operated only for about 2 months in whole year. And even now, so we have, you know, sufficient clinker available for the Ujjain project from Nimbahera and Mangrol.
Sir, currently, so basically for the Nimbahera line and 1 and 2, so what is the cost difference between the latest operating parameters and the difference between that line in per term of the clinker costing manufacturing?
Yes, definitely, you know, if you look at the operating cost from kiln number 1 and 2 is higher than the operating cost of the other kilns. And the variation is between 300 to 450 rupees a ton. But having said so, and this is utilizing a spare capacity, we don't need to any invest. We already have certain fixed expenses of that line, because we cannot go for a derating of the capacity. So there are many advantages. While we do incur certain additional variable costs, there is a overall saving in the fixed cost of about maybe about 100 rupees a ton. And otherwise, if you look at not only the, if you only look at the operating profit, is different. But if you look at the overall net cost, including interest and depreciation, there is no cost of interest or depreciation when we operate these lines.
Got it, sir. And one last question from my side. Other than the after the Prayagraj and the Ujjain expansion, when it will get over, do we have any scope to expand only cement capacity and we have the extra clinker? So because I want to understand, there is any scope of expanding cement capacity without any clinker expansion? Is it possible?
Oh no, we are, see what our capacity, grinding capacity after Prayagraj would be 24-25 million tons. And that would be, I mean, the present clinker capacity would be just sufficient to, you know, for the entire capacity. So we will not have additional clinker available for more grinding capacity.
In any reason, right?
Yeah. I mean, broadly, yes, maybe some, we do sell, continue to sell some clinker in the southern plant, irrespective, I mean, even why we have a capacity of 3.5 million tons now in the south, we still sell say, on an average about 1.5 lakh tons of clinker in a year. But that's all. But otherwise, you know, we don't have any clinker available.
Okay. But if we want to operate line 1 and 2 in the future, when if there is any demand boost up in the north or the central India, is it possible to do the cement capacity expansion on the dependency of the Nimbahera line and 1-2?
No. Sir, what I am saying that the present grinding of 24 million tons is including the clinker from line 1 and 2.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, we have several new products which we have launched over time, including White Max, Gypsum Max, Style Max, Wood Amour. Sir, what is the revenue and the EBITDA run rate over here? If you could please help with that, that is the first question.
So one, White Max is not a new product. It is part, we have all the white cement products are part of the Max family. This is a part of the branding exercise. White Max, when you say, it is the white cement.
White cement, yeah.
So it is not a new product. Gypsum Max is a gypsum plaster which we introduced about 4-5 years back. And looking to, see, today to maintain all our dealer network and retailer requirements, you need to have a bouquet of products. One product, because it is not, when the customer comes, he would like to take all the products from one counter. You know, if your counter only has one product and which is there, you know, while we are facing challenge from demand coming in from the market, that this is the difficulty being faced by the dealers. So when we started on this journey of introducing valued VAPs across the company, so we took this, we started the journey about 5 years back. And so we have seen one, with the introduction of a VAP, we have been able to create a new profit pool, a new bucket for a, though it is not very substantial, but we say from the VAPs itself, you know, around about 15%, 12 to 15% of the total white EBITDA, you know, you get from the VAPs.
Sure, sir. So would it be possible for you to quantify what this number was for last year, full year?
No, we do not share, you know, for the VAPs or anything. We are not sharing for the main product, and you are asking for a sharing of the VAP, which is again a business confidentiality data. So we are not sharing the data of VAPs separately.
No, no, right, sir. Appreciate that. Sir, my second question is, sir, how should we look at the optionality that we have at Jaisalmer? So when you think about it, you look at Jaisalmer versus Nimbahera lease expiries, or you look at Jaisalmer versus Panna brownfield optionalities. Just trying to understand your thought process over here.
Jaisalmer works out to be a long-term strategy. We'll see, in Rajasthan now, you are not, you have no new sites available. And when we see going forward, when the demand increases, Jaisalmer has got good limestone deposits. It has challenge. It has, you know, logistic issues in terms of both incoming inquiries away from the market. So there we are trying to work out, you know, what incentives can be given by the state government to partially offset all this disadvantage. But otherwise, you know, good quality limestone, we can have good clinker production from there, and with the grinding units, you know, have a good business model. So going forward, I mean, if we have to see, we have to meet out the increased demand. So that has to be, I mean, the whole north market is primarily dependent upon these cement coming in from the state of Rajasthan. So Rajasthan is not going to have, you know, more limestone deposits. So then, so we have to go to areas where the limestone availability is there.
So, sir, this is not a backup to Nimbahera lease expiries. I appreciate
that. This is not a backup to Nimbahera lease expiry. For that, we have already got, we have, you know, in the last year, we took one additional lease in the auction close to Nimbahera. And in any case, I mean, it is not the platform to discuss, but I am of the view that mining leases are getting expired, but definitely there is a provision, and there would be much more clarification closer to the date by the government that the right of refusal will go to the existing players. Otherwise, it is not a practical option.
Right. And last follow-up question on Nimbahera. Sir, how do you look at water as a commodity over here? I understand earlier the government was not giving approvals because of water as an issue over here. So is it something which has been taken care of by putting on pipelines, or are we still relying on groundwater?
Nimbahera, we do not have any problem in case of water.
Jaisalmer.
So yeah, Jaisalmer, we have taken approval for water from the government.
Okay, but
various approvals, we have taken approval from the government for the requisite water.
Okay, but are we relying on groundwater, sir?
No. We also proposed to get a pipeline to, that is part of the project.
Okay. Right. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Agarwal for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you. On behalf of Phillip Capital India Private Limited, we'd like to thank the manager, J.K. Cement, for the call, and many thanks to the person joining the call. Thank you very much, sir. Michelle, we now come to the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call.
Thank you,
members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Phillip Capital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.